Well, good afternoon. It's good to be back with you this afternoon. If you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11. And as you're turning there, I want to thank you all for your warm welcome. First of all, your invitation for inviting us to be here. We have another friend with us today. I just wanted to make mention. I befriended a friend named Jay. I've worked with him in the secular world in the past, and he's come and visited us several times at West Main. But he's actually your neighbor. He lives here in Murfreesboro. And so glad to have you with us as well, Jay. Glad to have anyone visiting here with the church family that meets here. I'm visiting here today, and I'm glad to be, again, part of the service today. And thank you again for your invitation to my family and for me. I heard a story, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard a story where there was a man who came visiting from outside to a congregation, and the preacher was going on preaching, and all of a sudden, this man just burst out and said, "Amen!" And there was a woman who looked and cringed, and she didn't think much of it. The preacher continued to preach, and a few minutes later, the preacher made a powerful point, and the man said, "Hallelujah." The woman just looked. She was going to say something, but she didn't. Finally, the preacher made a few more points, and he made a very profound point, and the man said, "Praise the Lord." The woman had enough. She said, turned around, looked at him, and said, "We don't do that here." I want you to think about that for a moment. We do that here, actually. We do praise the Lord. And it's good to see. It's very good to see how intentional you all are. I appreciate your thoughts this morning, your prayers, the songs. I appreciate you taking time. Appreciate the shepherds here, the deacons. Thank you all for, again, welcoming all of us to be here for the express purpose of what we're to be here about. And that's worshiping God. It's about Him, not about us. And so, the second topic that I chose, I didn't bring any produce with me, just to let you know, no produce, no PowerPoint, just reading a few words from the Scripture tonight. But it's powerful. It's God's Word. And what I need to be reminded of is, when I have faith, I need to understand, it is sometimes I'm on the pinnacle, and I'm on the top of the hill, and other times I'm at the very lowest that I can get. But isn't that what we read about God's people? Don't we see that all the time of God's, the faithful that we read about over and over? Even in Hebrews 11, we see a lot of familiar names. And they were at the top of their game. And sometimes they're at the very bottom. It's an ebb and flow. It happens for all of us. And so the other subject that I chose when I was asked what I wanted to preach on is a good follow-up from this morning. After we talk about understanding, getting our bearing, and not replacing the most important things, God at the very top and His will, how do you hold on to faith? How do you hold on to faith when you're living in a world that's lost its mind? We talked about many ways this morning how it's lost its mind. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, and you don't really need me to commentate on that. You could just go on and turn on the news. You could just look around and see what's going on in our world today. But how do you hold on to faith with that? That's what I'd like to comment on for a few minutes. And so the first thing we have to do, that I have to do, is I need to really understand what faith is, and I need to define faith. And I can't find a better description or illustration here in the Scripture. It's in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." If you go to the dictionary, faith, if you just define it that way, it's just meaning complete trust, complete confidence in someone or something. Similar words, synonyms would be trust, belief, confidence, conviction, reliance. The second definition is a strong belief in God, according to Webster. Doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. The Hebrew writer says in the NIV, "Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance what we do not see." In the Living Bible, it says, "What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. The Living Bible. I like to look at several versions, multiple versions. Some, I wouldn't rely on them for every verse in the Bible, but I like to look at a totality and study from a number of different verses and a number of different places in Scripture, try to get the full sense and the meaning of what is being said. Where does faith come from then? We understand that it's this idea of complete trust, complete confidence, a strong belief in God. It's something that we hope for, but we don't see it. But we know it's there. Where does it come from? Well, another passage in the New Testament, Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have to hear it. And not just hear me or any other preacher or any other person. You need to hear the word of God. That's what we need to hear. We need to listen to what God is saying to us. What is He conveying to us? And so we need to listen to Him. Faith comes by hearing, hearing from His Word. We also know back in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so we need faith. We see that faith is absolutely essential. We have to have faith. We have to have that to please God. And we hear that from His Word. Another verse we read of from time to time, 2 Corinthians 5:7, if you're taking notes or notating it, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. So in order to hold one's faith, to hold on to that, when it's a trying time, even in a world that has completely lost its mind, first of all, we can't hold on to what we don't have. You cannot hold on to what you don't have. If you don't have a foundation of faith, if you don't start there with belief, then there's no way to hold on to it. You need to start by hearing God. You need to start by listening to God. You need to start responding to God. If He says to do something, we do it. We do it by faith. And a great place to start is Hebrews 11. There's a great example. Example after example of person after person, many of whom we know by our studies in the Old Testament. There are several names we don't know who acted and were moved by faith. In order to hold on to faith, we need to stand as a good soldier. Timothy was told to fight the good fight. One of the things I am going to do in a moment is I'm going to sing a familiar song. I'm going to sing with you this song. And I'm not going to lead it all at once, but it's a very famous hymn called Faith is the Victory. John Henry Yates, he worked his way through several careers over the years. He was a shoe salesman. He was a newspaper editor. He was a hardware store manager until he became a preacher in 1886. It was after this he met Ira Sankey, D.L. Moody's song leader. Sankey was in Buffalo, New York at the time, and Yates came from Batavia, New York to see him. In his book, My Life and the Story of the Gospel Hymns, Mr. Sankey says, I urged him to spend more time on writing gospel hymns. Yates later sent the musician several poems he'd written. And this is one of them that was with him. Sankey was a Civil War veteran. And he captured the mood of the song, and you'll hear it when you sing the song and when you hear it sung, a tune that seems to mimic the galloping hooves of the troops and the soldiers. The words we're going to sing in a moment. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise. Press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Before we lead that first stanza, before we sing that together, we need to be willing to understand that we have to acquire faith because we can't hold on to it. And we're certainly not going to hold on to it very long if we don't listen. And if we don't listen to the words of God. And we need to be a good soldier. That seems to be the very theme of the song that we sing, and it seems to be the very thing that we need to do to fight the good fight of faith. You have your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, in verses 3 and 4. Familiar territory, no doubt. But Paul is encouraging young Timothy to be strong. He even says those words in 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And then he's going to use some illustrations, some clear, concrete illustrations that Timothy, and I think we can understand. In verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. He goes on to not only talk about a soldier, but an athlete. He says in verse 5, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And then thirdly, he likens it to a farmer. In verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. What he's encouraging young Timothy is exactly what he says. He wants him to stand strong. He wants him to hold on in a very difficult time. He's saying, Timothy, I want you to hold on to your faith. Even though the world around you has lost its mind. Even there are those hunting Christians. Even though it's very dangerous now to be a Christian. Even though there are some who are ready to burn cities down and send them to the lions. He's saying, you can hold on to this faith. And you can hold on because you're like a soldier. And a good soldier is going to be committed. A good soldier is not going to give up. A good soldier of Jesus Christ is going to face hardship. He's not going to get entangled of the affairs of this life. He's not going to get so wrapped up here. That's what we talked about this morning. The many things that we replace with our faith or with our service to God are things about here. We need to not be so concerned about things down here, but things up there. We need to know there's a spiritual battle going right now. The book of Ephesians clearly tells us that. There's a spiritual battle. There's warfare going on. And he's telling Timothy, be strong. And you need to be like an athlete as well. You need to have endurance. You're not in this for a sprint. This is a marathon. This is not just for a moment. And then you need to be like a farmer. You got to be patient. You got to be patient like a farmer. Each one of these three. Good soldiers will press the battle by waging good warfare and fighting the good fight. Again, 1 Timothy, if you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy 1 in verses 18 and 19. Notice the charge that he gives him here. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith, and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He's charging him. He's saying by name some of those who have made shipwreck of the faith, but he's saying, listen, I commit you. He's encouraging him. He's admonishing him. He's saying, have faith. Hold on to your faith. Some have rejected it, and some will reject it. But you hold on to faith. Fight the good fight. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, two verses more, verse 11 and 12. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight. This isn't a physical fight. You remember if it was a physical fight a long time ago when they started to take Jesus from the garden. You remember Peter drew his sword. He was ready to fight. He was ready to do it. And he was. He cut Malchus's ear off. Jesus said, put the weapon away. That's not what my kingdom's about. My kingdom is not of this world. That's not the type of fight we're talking about here. But we live in difficult days too, don't we? Maybe it's not the same pressing that we feel. Certainly not as dangerous perhaps as it was, but we have things pressing in on us as well. We have days where we wake up and we're at the top. We're at the pinnacle of the mountain, and the next day we just bottom out. We're like, look at everything going around us. How do we hold on to our faith? Here's how we hold on to our faith. And that's precisely why I believe John Henry Yeats decided to write this poem, accompanied by music that would be suitable for music you would hear in a marching battle. And so, good soldiers, finally, before we sing this first stanza, they'll face the foe. They'll know who the foe is. They'll know who the devil is. We're going to sing that in this stanza as well, won't we? In 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We are reminded, we know who he is. And we're told in Scripture, don't be ignorant of his schemes. He's scheming against us. He's plotting against us. He wants us to replace the things that are most important, as we talked about earlier. 1 Peter chapter 5, 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. He says, no. Sometimes the devil comes as an angel of light. He disguises himself. You don't ever know it. He looks like one of us. And other times he comes as a roaring lion. He's seeking someone to devour. He's very open. He's very brazen about that. We need to stand. Do you know what it says here, though? It says we can resist him. We can stand up against him. But we can't stand up until we submit to him first. You remember when James says that as well? We need to submit to God. We need to submit first. We need to obtain the faith. Submit to him, doing his will. Then we can resist. We can stand up to him. We're not more powerful, but we can stand up steadfast in the faith. Faith is the victory. Let's sing that first stanza, if you will. Think about these words as we sing it together. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Amen. Faith is the victory. You could hear it when Mr. Yeats and Mr. Stanky put that together to music. They had some heart in that. It's a powerful song because it's pointing to the Scripture. It's pointing to what Paul is telling Timothy. It's pointing to what God is telling us today. And so the first thing is, you can't have something, you can't hold on to something you don't have. Have faith. Seek faith. The second point I'd like to share is, don't be surprised by the world. Don't be surprised by the world. Keep walking in faith. Keep that armor on. Arm yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Sometimes we pay too much attention, and I'm not going to say we. I pay too much attention to those things going on around me. Now, I know we need to be aware, but sometimes it's to a fault. I pay so much attention, oh, this is happening. And the news loves that, don't they? The media says, oh, look over here. We've got this problem. Oh, look over here. There's a war. Look over here. There's a disease. Look over here. There, here. All of a sudden, our heads are spinning. How do you hold on to faith? How are you able to hold on to faith in a world like that? The enemy loves that. He loves chaos. Remember this morning we talked about God wants peace. Fruit of the Spirit. But the devil loves chaos, and he likes to mix it up. And he likes to use agents in the world, and he likes to use even us Christians to do his service sometimes to spread the chaos. I'm not saying we don't need to be concerned. I'm not saying we don't need to be praying. Don't misunderstand me. But what I am saying is we need to focus. And it's hard to focus when we're being torn in every direction as imaginable. We shouldn't be surprised of anything we really see, should we, in this world? I mean, we look at that and you said, I can't believe. I will say there's some horrible things. Things I'm seeing, hearing on the news. But do we remember who the prince of this world is? Think about it for a moment. It doesn't make anything less horrific, but it does remind us who the prince of this world is. John chapter 12 and verse 31. John chapter 12, verse 31. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. John 12, 31. How about in 1 John chapter 5? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Let me say that again. We know that we are children of God, do we? Do we remember who we are? And that the whole world is under control of the evil one. It doesn't mean we should pray any less. We need to pray more. We know righteousness exalts a nation. We know sin is an approach to any people. And we see the consequences of sin. But we shouldn't be surprised when we see the deterioration and the chaos. And we shouldn't just let our lives fall apart and lose our faith because we see all of these things happening, even among brethren. That's what the Apostle Paul was telling Timothy. I'm going to name them by name. Some have left the faith. The enemy wants you to leave. He wants you to be discouraged. The devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer from the very beginning. There's no truth in him. He prowls about like a roaring lion, as we read. He seeks someone to devour. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Think about that. What do we see? Turn on the news tonight. Killing, stealing, destroying. So what do we need to do? We should do the opposite of that. Shouldn't we replace that? Shouldn't we? We should offer life and hope and peace. We should give, not steal. And we should build up, not destroy. We should do the very opposite. We should stand and stand our ground and resist him. Do we know who we are? Do we know we have faith? We got to hold on to it. God is telling us. But the devil's trying to mix it up. We shouldn't be surprised when the world rises up against Christians. I mean, Jesus mentions this, John chapter 15. He warned them, he told them, fair warning. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. John 15, verse 20. We must take a stand. We need to just say enough. And we need to kick it out of our lives when these divided attention start coming our way. These things are coming for our attention, and they're these thoughts of chaos and worry and fear, and all these things are pressing in. We need to remember, even in the song that we're going to sing, stanza 2 tells us we have some weapons. We have some weapons. We have some equipment. God didn't leave us alone, did he? His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith, they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. You know, an army needs a banner under which to march. Our banner is love. God is love. He's not just the idea of love. He's not just the essence of love. He is love. God is love. And you want to read all about love? Read 1 Corinthians 13. You see what love is, what love is not. And you want to read more about love? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Gospels. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. He did that for me. He did that replacement we talked about this morning. It should move us every time. An army also needs swords which to fight. By the way, there's only one offensive piece, isn't there? If you turn to Ephesians, is one place where we have that list in our New Testament in Ephesians. Remember the whole armor of God? We're not to just put on some of it. We're to put on the whole armor of God. And that's what the Apostle Paul is encouraging those in Ephesus and encouraging us in 2022. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Notice, not your might, not mine, but in His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let me stop there for just a moment. We often stop there when we're reading about the armor, and there, rightly so, we can define every one of those pieces. Those pieces to defend us. Those things to protect us. Notice, we need a shield. A shield of faith is mentioned here. We have a sword of the Spirit, sharper than any two-edged sword, the Hebrew writer tells us. And we have that last thing mentioned in verse 17, the sword of the Spirit, our one offensive piece. But it's interesting to me, I've always said that, I've always mentioned that, yeah, we have that one offensive piece, but look at the next verse. We have something else. Praying. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We have prayer. We can call on God. We can call on the greatest who's ever been, whoever will be. He has all power. He has all knowledge. He's omnipresent, omnipotent. And He can do all things. We have all of this and we can pray to Him. And He says in verse 90, pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I appreciate you all praying for me. I appreciate you praying for anyone who comes up here and speaks or leads. I appreciate you praying for each other and praying for other saints. We need to pray for one another. We need to help one another. This isn't all about one group or one person or one congregation. This is a spiritual battle we've just read about. And an army needs a banner of love. God gives it. We need swords. As an army, we have a sword, the sword of the Spirit, the most powerful sword you can ever have. And we need a shield of faith. And we're able to pray together to the one who created it all. Let's sing the second verse. His banner over us is love, the sword, the Word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. And finally, we know we have to have faith to begin with. We need to start with that platform of faith. We know, secondly, that we can't be surprised when these things happen. We got to just arm ourselves and we got to equip ourselves and be ready for the fight. And third and finally, we need to focus on your faith in God, not on the world. Now, we focus on the world from the standpoint of reaching up to save them. But focus on your faith in God. That means we may just have to turn off the news a little more. That means we may have to lose some of those distractions, whatever they are. And yours and mine may be different. Something that affects you may just roll off me. And something that affects me greatly, you'd be like, well, that's a problem. Find out what that is for you in order to hold on and to keep holding on. There's some distractions. We talked about replacing things this morning. Let's replace the looking at all the world and all the madness. That means I don't have to watch every trial that's on the news right now. I don't have to be keenly aware of every single thing that's going on in these worldly things. I need to be aware, but at the same time, I need to ask myself, who's in control? Who's more powerful? I get so absorbed. I can get so absorbed in these things that it starts to diminish my faith. And I start forgetting. Back when I was in Florida College years ago, I had a friend named Pat. And Pat would get depressed often. We would sometimes be depressed because it was usually over some girl. And one day I remember going to Pat's room and he was just laying in his bed. And I said, Pat, man, you gotta get up. I know this was a rough situation you were in. It was a girl. But you gotta do this. I said, how about listening to some music? He said, okay, turn on that player over there. Cassette player. For you young people, there was such thing as a cassette player. I should have showed you that tonight. Anyways, I went over, it was all queued up. I said, maybe this will help you feel better. I pressed the button, and all of a sudden, Eddie Arnold came on. Make the world go away. Pat! Ask your parents about Eddie Arnold, too. I said, if I listened to that all day, I would be depressed, too. Turn that off. Sometimes we've got to turn it off. Sometimes it's our own thoughts in our mind. We just got to learn to tune them out. Turn them off. Because maybe the devil is trying to whisper something. He may be scheming against you, knowing, I'm going to try and distract them today. I got them right where I want them. I got her right where I want her right now. Oh, I can't just get her, him or her in the open. They're not just going to deny the faith. But if I could just kind of distract them, make it a little more chaotic, make it a little more fearful. You know all those names of Jesus we put up over all the fears in the world? Jesus will stand up to every one of them. And he'll save us from them. And think about our future and our hope. What we need to do is look to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. After you read about this hall of faith in Hebrews 11, all these faithful. And again, those we know their names, those who we don't. The things that they did, the things that they went through. And then you get to Hebrews 12. It says, therefore. So it's building right on what we... If you study Hebrews 11, which I encourage greatly, therefore, Hebrews 12:1, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want you to know today, and I want me to know today, there are a great cloud of witnesses. They've run their race. And some have done it through extremely difficult circumstances. And you may be running your race, and it may be through extremely difficult circumstances. But what he wants us to know today, and what God and the Spirit is wanting us to know, is to lay aside every weight. Lay all those things. The sin, notice it entangles us, it ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Remember he talked about the farmer? Got to be patient like the farmer. You got to wait. It's going to take endurance. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You're in it for the long haul. But we're not without aim. Because verse 2, looking unto Jesus. He is our focal point. He's at the finish line. He is there. He's the author and the finisher of faith. He started it. He started this work in you. He'll finish it. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. All of those things that we read this morning, all of those titles of authority and power and majesty. Look what He did. For the joy set before Him endured the cross. He went through that for us. Remember the replacement we talked about today? He despised the shame, but now He's at the right hand of the throne of God. You think He's not caring about you today? That song I love singing sometimes, "Does Jesus Care?" Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. He knows. He's been here. He knows how it is to be down here. He knows how it is difficult to hold on to your faith. But hold on. You can do it. Remember, don't worry. I'm going to repeat that quote for those of you who weren't here this morning, but I like it so much. Worry is a conversation you have with yourself about things you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation with God about the things He can change. He can do something about it. We can't. We can't do anything apart from Him. So it may mean turning off the TV, the radio, the media. Ditch your phone. Go into nature. Look at the birds and the flowers. I was talking with Manly today earlier, and we were talking about a garden that we put together. My wife had a very difficult time in the last couple of years, lost both of her parents. My in-laws, they were more than in-laws. And what can you say? What can you say? But you be there for them, and you hug them, and you let them know. And her parents were faithful to the Lord. They loved the Lord. Everybody who knew them, they loved the Lord so much. But I did a little thing that I thought I could do. I'm not much of a gardener, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to start planting flowers. And we have, I know my wife loved butterflies and butterfly bushes. And so we kept rolling things, kept killing the grass, and kept moving things over until we have a bird and butterfly garden. And we are having hummingbirds and finches and flowers. And you know, we mentioned that this morning. Jesus says, look at these things. Look at nature. You know why He says that? Look at the birds of the air. God takes care of them. Won't He take care of you even more? Look at the flowers. Remember, Jesus is the only one. He creates. He can speak it into existence. He might have actually created birds just so He would teach us not to worry. He might have created flowers for the express purpose of us not worrying about it. When we get into the city, sometimes we forget. We just see man-made things. We see constructions. We see building. And maybe they're beautiful to behold. But you know what? Some people in those places, they completely forget God. Look what we did. Look at this great structure. Some people like it that way. Look at the birds, look at the flowers, look at nature. Get away from all of the stuff that confuses us and pulls us down. Continue to fight the good faith that overcomes the world. And finally, in 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Equip yourself. We got a major battle. And we can't do it alone. We can't do it without help. We need God's help. And we need each other. We're soldiers. We're fellow soldiers in this war. We need to ask for help of God and each other. And so in this third stanza we're going to sing in just a moment, it says this, we have a foe to fight. There's still work to be done. On every hand, the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all girt about, the earth shall tremble neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. In 1 Thessalonians 5:8, we read about this, about that helmet to protect our head. It's not just in Ephesians, but the Apostle Paul writes to those in Thessalonica as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet of hope of salvation. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth girds us. It holds us together. It holds our equipment together. We got to have the truth. We got to. We may not always like what the truth says, but we got to listen to it. We got to obey it. Truth doesn't lie. And finally, this armor, we can overcome and be victorious in the fight. Finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 54, it says, "So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, one thing you do. Now, one word that you say. We have victory through faith. Let's sing the third stanza. On every hand the foe we find, drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind, and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head, with truth all good about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread, and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Amen. Thank you so much. You've listened so well. I appreciate your good attention to both lessons today. And if there's anyone at all who's not yet responded, remember, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So what we would urge you to do today is to respond to it. Some people ask me from time to time, well, where do you think I'm going? Where's my eternal destination? A lot of people ask preachers that. Jesus said it this way, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." It's not up to me to answer that, it's up to Jesus. So am I doing the will of God? Am I listening to what he says? Am I honestly listening to it? A wise man once said, "You show me an honest man, I'll show you a Christian." If you're honest about it, want to look into it intently in the perfect law of liberty, he'll show you. I believe if you're seeking, he'll let you find him. And so if that's your desire today, I know the shepherds here, the deacons, the members here, they would embrace you. If you want to study, by all means, study. And if for some reason your faith has been weakened and maybe it has been hard for you to hold on, I understand. I'm not here to kick you. It's hard for me. It's hard for all of us at times. Let's be there for one another, but we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you, whatever we can do. Won't you come now as together we stand, as we sing.